Hello, basketball gamers. Welcome to episode number 121 of the NLSC podcast. I am Andrew. Hope you're enjoying your week. I'm enjoying mine, and I'm about to enjoy it even more because I'm here with my good friend Ben, also known as Arcane.
Ah, glad to make your podcast more enjoyable.
Glad to make my week. Actually, we've had a pretty good week, you and I.
Yeah, we have.
It's people can probably guess why. It's been a big E3. The NBA finals have been on and concluded yesterday, and the team that we wanted to win and picked to win did win. My team also won the State of Origin, Ben, as you are painfully aware, but I can't rub it in because I'm not interested enough in footy to really care. So
well,
it would be very bandwagon-y of me to do such a thing.
Well, I got one of my two wishes from that game to happen. And yeah, there was a certain player I was hoping got injured, and he did. Potentially a broken rib or something like that. So yeah.
At least it was on the field and not on the footy show. But
that's true.
But that is a topic for another day. But yes, we are here. Episode number 121 of the podcast. As we said, NBA Finals concluded this week, and we've just passed E3 as well. And a lot of news coming out of E3, Ben.
Yeah, it was actually a really big and just monster E3 in terms of the stuff that was announced in that. So yeah.
Across the board, I mean, we've got our own favorites, which we'll talk about before too long, I should say. The headliner obviously is NBA Live 16, one of the games we obviously cover on the NLSC, which we'll talk about momentarily. But yeah, such a really good event with so many big announcements, as you said, games that we're interested in, and certainly a lot of Live 16 news, more than we were expecting.
Yeah, you know, we're probably expecting maybe like at best like a 30 to 45 second clip, and most of that sort of just being within a montage from when, you know, they sort of start the EA Sports section of the EA conference and that. But no, yeah. we got a lot of info from the actual conference and even some stuff post conference and that. So yeah,
Q&As, and of course the game itself has been playable at E3. They're inviting people to come and get their hands on the game, which hasn't happened in quite some time.
No, it's mainly just sort of, when it was being shown, it was more just sort of one-on-one sort of stuff, wasn't it?
Very handled demonstration, but yes, I think we've buried the lead long enough. Actually, a bit of speculation before the show began from Doug Vini of goodgamebro.com. Did you see that, Ben? He put out the video that speculating whether online team play would be back based on the whole Rise Together hashtag.
Yeah, you know, it was a pretty interesting theory in that. Certainly a few things to potentially support it in that. So, but they did allude at something during that conference. So
absolutely. I mean, it seems like a pretty good guess that online team play, and also something similar to 2K's My Park, will be coming. And we did get a bit of a hint at that in the gameplay trailer. But moving on to E3 itself, yes, it was on display. It was announced that it would be there before, obviously. And like you said, thought there'd just be that maybe a quick trailer during the bit of a, I guess, an overall EA Sports sizzle trailer like they've done in the past at previous shows. But they actually came out with a full-on display. Executive producer Sean O'Brien had the presentation, brought out the Hoop God, to help him present the game. And they showed off the gameplay trailer. We actually got to see a very nice-looking trailer made of in-game assets, no CGI, so that was very nice to see. At the end of that, we did see something that looked a little bit like a rec center, so maybe something like the park or online team play, Adidas Live Run.
Well, it was more an outdoor street court. So
was it
more than a rec center? Yeah, because you saw the sky and a bridge.
Oh, well, that's how much I was. I must have just been distracted by that wonderful hashtag Rise Together. But that's obviously what Rise Together is talking about, that connected mode. We're going to learn about more about that at Gamescom. They actually told us that, so that's be something to look forward to in August, I believe that is.
And that's interesting too, because Gamescom's obviously in Cologne, Germany, and that. So it's not often where you'll see NBA Live taken to there, like not even in previous years from memory. Does it get much of a...
Yeah, 2K's been there, but not so much NBA Live, at least in recent years.
Yeah, so that's really cool. I thought Like, I wasn't too sure if that Gamescom thing, if I heard right with that, so I wasn't going to bring that up. But no, it's
Yeah, that was on the Twitter Q&A, which we'll get to in a little bit. But yeah, they were mentioning before E3 that all this was coming. They dropped the trailer, the gameplay trailer, which was getting a very positive response, and we certainly liked it. I know I did, and you seem to like it too. They also were mentioning some of the questions they were going to be answering, and they did. And again, we'll get to that momentarily. The gameplay trailer came out, and that was what was about a minute long.
Yeah, it was about
57 seconds.
57.
There you go. So about a minute long, and that was all in-game assets, as we said. More screenshots came along. They were coming through the day. I've been posting them on our social media, as well as on the main page and the NBA Live 16 portal. And yeah, once again, had a very good reception to that trailer and some of the new animations and everything. The Russell Westbrook has motion captured his celebrations. We saw that in the behind the scenes of the cover shoot. And then after the presentation wrapped up and the press conference wrapped up, Sean O'Brien was on the official Twitter answering questions. He answered a couple of ours and some other great questions that the community suggested. A lot of ones that we suggested didn't get answered, probably because they're going to be talking about it at a later time. Or maybe the answers aren't so good. But in any case, the answers we did get were very promising, basically. And I've got the Q&A up in front of me, I should say, just to read out. And the official Twitter tweeted it out, our article. So I was pretty, as always, I'm chuffed when we get the recognition. But recapping that Q&A, some of the highlights. In terms of the gameplay, the control animation are the two most noticeable improvements that we'll be seeing in Live 16. That's what Sean said. And gameplay animation is a lot smoother. We have seen that in some of the footage that's come through. The big one, I guess, is creator player has been confirmed for the game, which basically means custom rosters.
Yes.
And we wanted this. It was supposedly in the cards last year when we talked to Sean on the podcast and in other interviews he mentioned it as well. We were hoping that it wouldn't have gone off the roadmap, and it seems to be, well, it's been confirmed that it's in the game, so that's good news that it hasn't fallen by the wayside again. We got custom players, custom rosters, creator player. The big addition to that is the new Game Face HD, which, unlike the face scanning in 2K, which uses the Kinect and PlayStation 4 camera, this will actually use an app on your smartphone.
Yeah, and it also allows for five faces to be scanned.
Up to five, yeah, which means you can get a few buddies in the game, I guess, instead of just yourself or Rising Star, and it can be used across the different modes,
So
so it's not just for Rising Star.
yeah, that's fantastic. So
That's big. That's big that it's allowed us that kind of flexibility,
yeah,
and the
for those who might not be wanting like to play too much of like a story mode in that sense, you just want to play like a regular season, like a dynasty sort of type mode. They can include themselves in that and their friends in that, so that's pretty cool. And yeah, just a general play now sort of roster, I guess, as well. So.
As Big Horde mentioned in the forum, would it be possible perhaps to get a really good picture of an NBA player and try and scan that in?
Yeah.
I mean, we could certainly try. It'd be worth trying with a good quality picture and enough patience. Perhaps if we can update the rosters ourselves this year with the custom rosters, getting a player in the game who hasn't been added or doesn't have a face yet, being able to add them and.
John,
Yeah. Well, there you go. There you go.
it does require the face being turned. So whether there's that sort of same situation, like when the guy tried, aside from when he tried doing his chihuahua and that he tried a few,
Yeah,
he tried
love
like
it.
even a face from like a magazine and that, but obviously because it needs to sort of be potentially 3D or me.
I guess, but
But we can
I mean,
definitely
it's
try.
really worth a try. Worth a try. I'm sure
I'll
someone's
try
got
my
a,
cat.
yeah. I'm sure someone's got a bobblehead, a Michael Jordan bobblehead
Or
lying around that we could try and use.
actually one of those Entebbe figures, the scaled figures and that,
Oh yeah.
they're really detailed, so might come off a
Send
little
someone
bit.
along to Madame Tussauds, the Wax Museum, and get someone to scan the Jordan model there.
Or if someone goes to a Charlotte Hornets game while he's there, or one of his Jordan
Oh,
brand
tries to get a
temps.
selfie.
Yeah,
He's like
yeah.
gets a selfie with Jordan and ends up scanning his face.
Well, there's that Fuse app which could do it, like does a 3D thing. Or say, oh yeah, I suppose you got to use the in-actual app. So yeah, just there's ways to do it.
We have the technology.
Yep. And I'm sure there's
But
enough Stalker slash fans slash crazies out there to do it.
Yeah, and it's a good a time as I need to mention that we're taking the responsibility for that.
Yes.
So yeah, there'll be Game Face HD. That's exciting. Obviously, very exciting. Gameplay sliders have been confirmed. That was the other big thing, as well as custom rosters, customization. To have those sliders back in the game. We don't know which sliders yet. Hopefully enough to tweak frequencies and percentages and all that good stuff that and game speed, everything we need to just adjust things to make it more difficult or a little bit easier in between the difficulty levels, or of course get more realism. To that, I mean, those are the two big things that the community has been really wanting. And Sean was asked about how the community feedback has really helped them with Live 16, and he said that yeah, it has been really important, and we'll actually it appears we'll see some wish list items come to fruition this year. Not all of them, because there's only so much you can do within a year, but we'll see our feedback how it's been taken on board. So that's always encouraging to hear.
Yeah, definitely.
There'll be differentiation in player explosiveness. Plays with a quick first step, governed by ratings and signature dribbling packages. That's how they'll be differentiated. Commentary and atmospheres received attention. Once again, we have the settings for regular season playoffs and NBA finals. Noticeable improvements have been made to the catch and go and catch and shoot game. Apparently, the difference between Live 15 and Live 16's passing game is night and day. Dunks can be blocked, and the paint is now a quote cheese-free zone. So
So cheddar free.
that's certainly no cheddar in Live 16 apparently, and of course we have the sliders to further adjust that. I would assume improved play likenesses, AI and animations. We've seen some of that in play with the screenshots and some of the early footage. This was your question actually. Game Face HD will only be available through the mobile devices, not the camera or Kinect. Defensively, there's been a huge jump in artificial intelligence, on-ball control, and also improvements away from the ball, being able to deny cutters and deny position to players. We've seen some of that in action as well. Signature jump shots and other customization options will be available in Rising Star. So if you want to shoot like Sean Marion, I guess you can. The new online game mode, as we said, will be revealed at Gamescom, and in-depth blogs on Live Motion and other gameplay are all coming in the near future. And we've got that on the site. You can read all the tweets. I've embedded them. But that's a lot of great information coming out of for the presentation and the post-presentation at E3.
Yeah, you know, and considering they would have like already a busy few days to do that, so I mean that was awesome with them, and yeah, I mean they didn't hold back on a lot of info on that, so that was good, and yeah.
Yeah, very open and honest answers and answered some key questions. And again, the fact that they've actually got NBA Live 16 on the floor has allowed us to get some more news by way of people in the community who are at E3, including Tico is to Corey. I apologize if that's not how you or that I've kind of garbled that Twitter handle there. He's a popular YouTuber, of course, basketball gamer, and you know, successful YouTube personality. He's there on the floor at E3. He's been spending a lot of time with Live 16. He's going to have some Q&A videos up of his own very soon to answer questions that people have been sending to him. More impressions, spending a lot of time with the game. Wants to be as detailed as possible. He's mentioned that we've got manual control over floaters, which is very welcome news in my opinion. I missed that in Live 15, not being able to manually put up a floater from mid-range whenever I wanted to.
Yeah, well, you know, something Curry's been notorious for this year, so
Saw a lot of them in the finals, yeah,
yep.
which were frustrating when they weren't dropping with the Warriors.
Yep.
No bias, Bulls fan, but
So yeah, a good additional to the offensive play element in that. So, I'm actually really excited for this year's live. I mean,
yeah, it's. I mean, we'll get to the IGN demo in a moment because IGN had some footage which was some raw gameplay, and they also went into instant replay and showed off this and that to highlight certain aspects of the game. But everyone who's been playing it at E3 has been at least cautiously optimistic, and in the case of a couple of the guys saying that you can really feel the difference in the smoothness and the responsiveness of the controls, and that it looks pretty good in action when you're playing it. And now, we've said before on the show that both with Live and 2K, sometimes when you're watching it, someone else played it, doesn't look as good as when you're playing it, because you can really sit down and focus on an animation that looks kind of funky. But when you're playing it, it still looks pretty good. You don't really notice until you have to go into replay and think, oh, that didn't look quite as good as I remember. But it's apparently it's really fun and enjoyable to play, and that the improvements are very apparent. So yeah, I was really impressed with the showing, and to hear all this good stuff. And there's a couple of interviews with iPod King Carter has also posted a couple. We posted those on the main site. Sports Gamer Show has as well. I need to post that one as well and retweet that out if you haven't seen that already. But yeah, then IGN also had a demo. They talked to Connor Dugan and Ryan Santos about the improvements to the aesthetics and also the gameplay improvements, and they had the gameplay video.
Both were wearing the same shirt as well, just different color variation with the Jordan.
Oh, I know. Branding, yeah.
Yep.
But they showed off the game, and, well, I'll let you go first. What did you think of the gameplay demo and the raw gameplay that we saw?
Far better than last year's. You know, you're seeing your teammates, the AI teammates, move around more with a lot more fluidity in that, and just not so stiff or just standing there clueless on what to do. It's great. The little contact animations, you know, trying to force its way through screens and trying to cut to the other side, and that, those are great additions. Those little handoff plays and the fact that there's touch pass elements and things like that. Great little additions, and, you know, things that we've been wanting for a while in that. So, and the fact that it's all done with control, and that is fantastic. You know, you can set the little touch pass plays in that sense, or the little handoff ones, I should say, by holding circle on the PS4 controller. And I think it's B on
X1, yeah.
So that's really awesome. And yeah, it's going to come in handy for those plays like a Steph Curry, and that he can sort of feed off those screens for those shots, and that right behind their teammate, you know, if they to, you know, to separate themselves from their defender and that. So,
well, they're such elementary plays in basketball that we see so often.
Yeah.
So the fact that they're actually represented in the game, 2K has them already. Had them last year, and they've been highlighted. Dazar actually highlighted them in various videos about 2K15. So that Live has adopted that as well. Absolutely, a step forward for them in the play calling strategy.
Yep.
I saw some of the old animations, which do still look a little bit clunky, and I was like, oh, you know, they're still there, and people aren't going to like that. And certainly, I was hoping, especially after that gameplay trailer, that some of those would be gone. But it's unfeasible to expect all of them to be replaced within 1 year.
Yeah.
And they are. There's a lot more to what they're dubbing Live Motion, which is this physics-based movement and collision system that and AI and off-ball movement and everything. You know, and it still looks pretty good, as you said, better than last year. Definitely improved, smoother, crisper. The passing does look better. A couple of the passes looked again maybe a little bit off, but certainly those handoffs looked really good. You know, those are some of the best, and that movement, because that's, I have been playing a bit of Live 15 lately, as I've mentioned in recent shows, especially Ultimate Team. But trying to make things happen, you know, the quick action button does help, running plays does help, but even just the fact that motion offense is already in motion, and that players are looking to come off screens and set screens and run to those open spots on the floor and stop, and they're spending that time trying to make it look good, and also for players to be thinking for themselves. As you said, you can see that in action in those videos. They showed it off in both slow motion and the replay, and also you could see it happening in real time in just the raw gameplay. I'm looking forward to it. I think looking at it and hearing what people are saying about it, this is a game that I'm really going to enjoy.
Yeah, and you know, from what Sean has talked about in past, developer diaries and videos and interviews and stuff, and even with us and that, you know, that it's been a 3-year plan and that. So seeing what they're doing and that,
starting to come to fruition.
Yeah, and I've just noticed too that the Live 16 trailer is actually on World Star Hip Hop, which I didn't expect. Like, so yeah, it'd be interesting to sort of see some of those comments. But
I mean, some people there've been people who've been flat out hating, because, you know, it's EA, and the brand has its own reputation, and some people just don't want to give Live any props at all, even when it's improving bit by bit. Even other people have been a bit disappointed or critical, which is fine. Most people have a point and they can articulate that and say what's disappointing, and everyone's entitled to their opinion, of course. But the response has been pretty positive from the people, again, who've had got their hands on the game at E3, and from the people seeing the videos saying, yes, this is looking better, and I'm interested in EA, tell me more. And compared to previous years, and this is kind of moving into the other thing that we were talking about before, or even as the show was going on. But the dev team, you mentioned the three-year plan, but they really seem confident this year. I mean, even just coming to the event and going all out like they have was not something they have been doing the last couple of years.
No. I mean, like, even like the Live 14, I mean, they were on the stage, but that was like CGI
trailer.
Yeah, so they're not holding back, which is awesome this year. Just to sort of see their confidence and for the road that they've gone through in terms of, you know, the dark kind of like with Elite 11 and obviously
13 getting canceled,
Live 13 not coming out. It must be like such a relief, you know, like the ton of weight off the shoulders in that sense. I mean, they're still
to see it coming together. Yeah,
you know, I mean, obviously they've still probably got a few things to improve on over time and that. But compared to where they were, it's looking positive for them. So keep up the good work, guys. I know you guys have been working hard, and we're looking like we're getting to see those results. And it's good that they stayed on path. They didn't do the
scrap it and rebuild again.
Yeah, you know, see the need to
which really would have killed the franchise if they'd done that again. Oh, so I'm glad that the higher ups have given Sean and his team the opportunity.
Yeah, you know, they didn't. Yeah, it was good they didn't see the need to reinvent the wheel. That's where I was going with that.
Sure.
So and hopefully, you know, that all the result and all the work that they've done, they'll have a really, really decent game out. So, and, you know, and it'll be good to see where they go after this, you know, in terms of how far they plan on pushing it and, you know, whether they'll...
The generation of consoles are young.
Yeah, exactly. So
they could always expand onto the PC, just saying.
Yeah. Well,
when the time has come.
Well, yeah, I mean, if they get to the stage where they've delivered a good enough game, where they don't just have to focus on the one or two console or on the two consoles and that.
The demand is going to be there. That people are going to have the computers to run it.
Yeah, you know? Exactly.
I mean, people already do, but I mean, if anything, with the 2K15 PC situation has proven anything, some of us didn't have computers that were quite good enough.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So you know, we thought we did and we didn't. So you know, and you can talk about optimization, that kind of things. But in any case, yeah, I mean, we hope we see it. We're going to keep pushing for it. Obviously, it certainly a lot of optimism on their part, and it was a really good move. That they are that confident, showing the gameplay, talking about gameplay and stressing how important that is, you know, and not talking about gimmicks. I mean, people will say live motion's a gimmick. It's the name they've given to the overall system that's driving all the AI this year, basically.
Yeah.
And the movement, the physics, what they've been working on for a couple of years. I'm looking at the gameplay blog to see if there's anything we've missed. Passing is a big thing. They want the passing to be more responsive and smooth. New pass and catch animations, more responsive. Be a floor general like a boss.
I was surprised when I saw that comment, all that.
In the blog, yeah. Dribbling controls, new controls for pulling off hesitation dribbles and crossovers, making the attacking the basket buttery smooth. Gone are the days of losing all of your players' momentum as you drive to the hoop. That's that physics engine putting in work. This, of course, you know, we can't really go past mentioning this. New shooting system, that it's no longer tied to the animation in so much as it's all on the release of the button, and there'll be late release animations and whatnot based on, you know, the quality of the shot and how quickly you put it up, but... All signature jump shots, of course, and they're always doing that to add more signature shots. But it is just on the button release, and they actually have we were talking about the shot meter last week, and I actually like the look of this shot meter and the way they've implemented shooting. It looks like they've addressed some of the problems with shooting in the game, and we've talked about the guarded logic and the release points and everything. It's look, and talk, again, hearing about people saying how good it feels to shoot the ball and play the game at E3, it sounds like the shooting mechanics are working really well this year, and I like it, and I especially like the fact we're getting it on free throws as well. You know, in lieu of having a T-meter or a brand new free throw shooting mechanic, I'm glad we actually have a release point like that and the shot meter, a proper shot meter on free throws. Not that I have problems with free throws anymore, but I'd still like it. Especially because a couple of times with Live 15, I've actually got great release and it's missed.
Yeah. Well,
which really annoys me, and especially if I get A+ release and it misses in on free throws, in 2K as well, because you're thinking, well, and that's what I liked about the T-meter. You could see I missed it because the ball was there and there in the T-meter. That's why I missed. When it says great release and you miss, kind of bugs me.
I think in one of the interviews, Connor Dugan does state like from time to time, like if you have like a perfect release and stuff, that you'll still get the occasional miss in that.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Hopefully nothing like, it's not like an everyday like 10 time a day thing, so.
Yeah, it's very rare that it's happened in Live 15. I guess if it still happens in Live 16, fair enough. But oh, I miss my team meter. I know it's outdated, old, and clunky, but they just haven't really improved on it. I'm not a fan of hold shoot because I like to be able to aim my free throws. But that's a whole other discussion for another time. I do like the shooting method they've got, and the fact that it's going to not be so tied to the animation that you have to watch the animation. You can watch a meter, but you can still get a basic feel for the timing anyway.
Yep.
And off-ball movement, live motion, this is what they're talking about had the most notable impact. And remember when dudes would just stand around the court and not try and move open unless you call the play? Those days are over. So obviously there's still play calling and everything, but we did see that. So that's great to see that kind of movement. Animation quality, we have seen some better animations. And if that ain't enough, I love the way they've written this blog. Check out some of the moves you can pull off now that you could never do before. Touch passing, dribble handoffs, pick and roll screen, rescreen, attack ball screens with new dribble mechanics, deny NBA superstars away from the ball, bump cutters, push off and get open away from the ball. And there's even going to be more moves they're going to be talking about. So again, giving us that control. And Live's always had really good approach to control. So it's really promising again what they're talking about adding this year and what we've already seen them do, and manual control of the floaters as well, as we said before.
I completely agree with that. I'd love to get hands on and just sort of
We're
see.
making our pitches, people. We're trying to get over this to there. If we can get some early hands on, we'll certainly do that and do our best to represent the community. But in the meantime, sending out feelers, and we're hoping to get interviews and whatnot set up as the previous season goes on. But
I'll even say this, like I'll even wash people's dishes if I had to stay at someone's place just to get over
We'll
there.
scrub floors. We'll scrub floors. We'll cook meals.
Toilets within a degree, within reason, the toilets,
Within
yes.
reason, yeah. Not to sound desperate, but no. In any case, we will be bringing more news on that. A lot of great news coming out of.
Offer is also with 2K as well, so the 2K guys. So yeah, it's want to try and
Fair and balanced, yeah, but
yes.
it's been a really good showing for Live at E3, the best in years basically, probably the best since people first were intrigued by that trailer for the Xbox 360 version of NBA Live 06 10 years ago, which of course the game didn't turn out so well, but this one is shaping up to be a lot better than that was. More full featured release, as we said in the features list last week. They mentioned the Dynasty and Rising Star and everything is getting they're getting big improvements as well to the depth modes. So a solid year coming up, and yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward, obviously, to what 2K is doing as well. But it's getting to the point where we're having. It's more to the point where we're having two viable options for gamers, or if people want to get both games and use this one for online or this one for my career or whatever. It's getting to that point where we're actually giving people a real choice, and it's good for us because we're covering basketball games. So the more games that are good, the better it is for us coverage. But certainly as gamers too, and long time Live fans, I'll certainly admit that bias that I want to see it succeed because that's the game I grew up with. I'm really happy at seeing what's come about, and I'm happy to see that I'm not the only one that's excited, and that we're not the only ones that are excited. That other people in the community are saying, "Yeah, this is looking good," or at the very least, is looking quite promising, and that the people at the show are saying, "Guys, you want to stay tuned." So we'll be staying tuned. But speaking of 2K and E3 2015. 2K wasn't really on display. I mean, they had a booth there, and they were giving out the coins, which people could then redeem for Ruby cards in my team for the cover players, James Harden, Stephen Curry, and Anthony Davis. They could get a collectible coin and the code for the Ruby card for my team. But yeah, nothing really in the way of news or anything else, which
or shown on stage. So yeah.
and were you surprised at that? I mean, I didn't. They weren't really hyping up that. It was they were going to announce something, but at the same time they said they were going to be there, so I thought we would actually get a bit more. At least, I mean, that's at least how I interpreted the tweet, and I guess that's my reading of it.
That's how I interpreted the tweet, and that's what I, when I mentioned it to you and Doug Vini and that the other day, and that when I saw it. So yeah, I mean, I was really expecting to see it during the PlayStation show, like on stage on PlayStation.
Yeah.
You know,
Yeah, because
they've had
they've
a
shown that, yeah.
they've had a history with being on the PlayStation stage and stuff.
Kobe Bryant with the 2K with the PlayStation Move. That's 2K11, I think.
12.
The 11 or 12 when they had the PlayStation Move and they were had Kobe on stage showing up. Yeah, so I mean it's
2K12 from memory. Yep. And,
around a few years back, at any rate. And so yes, that was during obviously during Sony's presentation. So yeah, but that didn't happen. Now some people have said, well, that's a bit of a fail. That's or certainly odd, if nothing else. And I agree. And I was expecting it, or at least thought there was an outside chance they might make an announcement, especially with the finals going on, because with E3 and the NBA finals, great time. People are really hyped about games and the NBA. So why not talk about your NBA game that's coming out?
Exactly.
But
I mean, it was shown in like a couple of minute montage of some of the games coming out on the PlayStation stage and that, but that was more just shown on the screen and that just for like, yeah,
was it
like a two.
2K16 footage or?
It looked to be live. Sorry, it looked to be 2K15. It.
Sure. Hard to say. Depends how many enhancements they've made with
Yeah.
the graphics. You see it in a stream. If it's not a HD stream, you know, you just glance at it in a couple of seconds. You know, you're not sure which one it is.
Well, I
But
was watching it on YouTube, 1080p, 60 frames per second, so.
okay. But you have had those eye problems, Ben.
Yeah, that's true.
But
And you just sort of took it from a took my like took like took took my knees out on that
yeah, I did.
one. You didn't have to
My
remind
apologies,
me.
Pat. Because I'm sure that when you glance out the window and at the beautiful weather and up in Queensland, you're not reminded of the slightly impaired sight at the moment.
Yeah, although
But
it's been wet the last few days, so it's just as miserable
no,
as my
nothing,
eyesight.
nothing, nothing to see anywhere. Yeah, but I mean, it makes sense because they've got something big coming. They've talked about it on NBA 2K TV. The two words, and then it cut to the fake technical difficulties, which reminded me of The Simpsons, so I enjoyed that. And Rachel said, "Oh wow," and everything. And so something big is coming from 2K as well. I did think they would still say something during E3 and the finals. Obviously, an optimal time to say it. At the same time, though, they're obviously pretty confident in their product, and Live does have a lot more to prove than 2K as well. So I'm not even they've, even though I'm sure they're working hard, and I've seen posts by Leftos. I know the kind of hours he's working. Nobody call our friend Leftos a lazy dev because I see the kind of hours he puts in and makes me feel lazy. I can tell you that much. But they're obviously working hard on it, so they're not resting on their laurels in that respect. But as far as having to hype the game, they probably feel quite comfortable. So and they've had a great foothold the last few years, and with the sales and general reception and the Metacritic scores and everything. So I guess they figure they can do it in their own time and that it wasn't crucial. They probably will be at Gamescom themselves and they'll have their own developer blogs and everything in the upcoming months leading up till September 29th. That's also the other thing we forgot to mention that the release date for NBA Live 16 is also September 29th. They're both coming out on the same day, which will be the first in quite a few years that that's going to happen.
Yes.
But it did surprise me, but on one hand, I guess because I got into my head that they were going to at least say something, but the fact that they didn't, they've had a pretty good run for quite a number of years now. So I guess it's not, they don't feel it's critical to, even with EA having such a great showing, that they don't feel it's critical to come out and even just say too much apart from hashtag be the story, which remains to be seen whether I'll actually want to be the story, but we've talked about that before. But yeah, I mean, any other thoughts on the 2K no show?
I mean, even if they just put out a couple of screenshots or something like that, that would have been all right.
I'm surprised there was absolutely nothing. I understand why and I
Yeah.
understand their confidence, but it's, yeah, a couple of screenshots. I was expecting a few tidbits, but
Like, yeah,
I guess they're coming.
even like during the finals themselves, like Live was putting out a few screenshots here and there, so I know. Not saying that there's like a no element of no confidence in that.
Oh, they're confident.
Oh
Nobody's
yeah.
big thing is coming. No,
It
we know that.
actually it kind of reminds me of like the sort of more traditional times when EA would release a few things, but 2K would stay dark until that very last month.
That's true. They did used to do that, yeah.
So whether they're going back to that method would be interesting.
Well, marketing for both companies have got their own ideas of what they want to do at each particular time to hype the game, but Yeah, I guess we have to wait a bit longer. The draft, I guess, is the next time that we might see some 2K stuff come through. Especially, that would tie into the whole, be the story in my career and being
Exactly.
that guy trying to make the league and everything
That's true.
in the
That's true.
future. It would be a
So
great way to tie it in. So, I mean,
that's.
that's the next big tie-in event, obviously, for them to be able to release something. But you could be right. It could be late July, August before we start seeing anything substantial. Wouldn't be unprecedented.
No, that's true. And let's hope it's not.
Yeah.
Let's hope we do get to see something a fit
Well, I
soon.
suppose as long as one of the companies is putting out news, we'll have something to talk about.
That's true.
There's only so many times I can mention Fallout before everyone gets totally bored of that. But I can talk about it, but I won't yet. But very exciting times for both games. 2K still keeping us in suspense with when they're going to bring stuff out and what they're going to show and what this big thing is. Live starting to drop some really big information. And again, for Live, it was just such a great showing at E3. And I was really happy that we got some really great news this week.
Same, that's all I've wanted the last few years is just life to get back to where it used to be in that sense, where it was,
A contender.
respectable and enjoyable in that, and not a laughing stock like say like the Clippers and that were like years ago, and all Philly is and stuff is right now. So yeah,
Yeah, not doesn't want, we don't want to see it tank anymore. And
yeah.
hate, I suppose haters are always going to hate, and there's always going to be people, oh, it looks like PS2 graphics when it clearly doesn't. But that's just the internet. People are going to express their opinions, and some opinions are going to be hold more weight than others. But and of course ours hold the most weight because this is our show. No, everyone is entitled to their opinion, but yes, some are less unbiased and less educated, shall we say. But we will continue to cover that situation as it happens. Even in between news dropping, we'll find things to talk about playing both the 2K15 and Live 15 in the off season, no doubt, and doing other things with basketball games. Of course, feel free to hit us up with any topic suggestions in those regards if you want to hear us talk about our all-time favorites or other such things. But the other big thing this week, of course, is the NBA Finals concluded in six games. You were right, Ben. Neither of us jinxed. Neither of us jinxed it this year. Last year, I picked the Spurs to win in six games. They won in five. This year, I picked the Warriors to win in five games. They won in six. You did get it right with your pick of six. We didn't jinx it, as I said. Looked a bit dire there for a while, though, especially when they were down 2-1 last week.
And even in the closing minutes of game six, and
Game six, yeah. Game five was a little bit of a
a blowout.
they ran away with that one,
Yeah.
but it was a very intriguing, interesting series. And once Curry got going and started hitting those shots, it was kind of over for the Cavs. They just looked gassed, and that's LeBron still putting up monster numbers. Wasn't shooting the ball very well, but didn't have a lot of help, I guess, consistently.
Yeah, I mean, well, Delian and that after those two massive games filling in for Curry and that
Yeah,
Kyrie Irving and that, that it was sad to see him like not be able to I don't want to say compete, but be able to be.
the memes were premature. Is that what you're getting at? Some of the Curry
No,
stopper, some of the
I
Curry
just
stopper claims were a bit over the top, perhaps.
it was just sort of. He just ran out. I mean, he hadn't had a lot of court time in a lot of other games and that. So he had to do so much and didn't have the. I want to say,
Wasn't the same showing, yeah. It
yeah.
was
So
after game three, he certainly didn't have too many more big games.
no.
Hey, at least he got in the game. Andrew Bogut didn't for the last few games of the series.
That's true.
He was DNPCD was the former number one pick, and with the glorious name of Andrew. But the Warriors did take charge of that series when they went to that small ball lineup. Certainly was working out for them offensively. And Andre Iguodala, of course, the first, so many firsts in this series and this year. Andre Iguodala becoming the Finals MVP, which was cool to see. The first Finals MVP to come off the bench all season. Only games he started were in the finals, and he had that strong showing. And yeah, there was talk whether LeBron should have got Finals MVP for his big numbers, but I really think it does have to go to the the best player on the winning team. I mean, you may not be being the biggest numbers or the best player in the series, but
most
if you,
consistent, I guess.
Well, if you guided your team to the championship, if you were the driving force to the championship, aren't you really the most valuable player?
That's true.
Which is what MVP stands for.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's I thought it was well earned. I mean, I didn't think Stephen Curry would have been a terrible choice because he did actually start playing a lot better in those last few games. But Iguodala, you know, that was cool to see him get that. LeBron had some big games, a couple of triple doubles along the way. Certainly a great player. Do not mean to hate on LeBron at all. We touched on that last week. Amazing player. Not saying he's the greatest of all time. I'm still giving that to Jordan. I will probably always give that to Michael Jordan. you know, it's the same way fans who grew up watching Wilt Chamberlain play will still say that he was the best. Always the interesting discussion. We invite you to have it in the forum. But it was, at the end of the day, the Warriors went small, killed him on the boards. In game six, at one point, the Cavaliers were beating them 32-16 on the glass.
Jeez, that's...
32-16, and still losing.
That's good.
Which, usually when you control the boards, you control the game, as you know. That's just conventional basketball wisdom. But once again, the conventional wisdom was defied with the small ball lineup and the lack of rebounding, and yet they still shot the lights out from downtown. Certainly helped. Putting together... this impressive statistic, with that Game 6 victory to clinch the championship, the Warriors were 58-0 in games they led by at least 15 points at one point this season.
Which is a phenomenal stat.
Yeah. So whenever they got up by, in other words, whenever they got by 15, they didn't lose the game. They might have lost the lead a little bit, and they did. They almost, J.R. Smith almost brought them back in those closing minutes. Everyone's talking about how, oh, you know, the game's over, great year for the Cavs regardless, and, oh, actually, the ball game's still going. And it's down to 4 points. Wow. All of a sudden. But the Warriors did hold on, and too little too late for J.R. Smith there. But that preserved the record, 58-0 in games that are up by 15 points. It speaks to just how dominant the Warriors have been this year.
Agreed. It's been a phenomenal season for them. Wonder how they'll be able to back, like, will they be able to back up and stuff next year and that. So, but yeah, it was definitely an enjoyable season to watch from them. You know, sort of see just Curry and Klay Thompson just go wild in that sense and be the shooters and stuff and put up those ridiculous numbers that they did throughout this year, like with Klay Thompson doing that 37 points in a quarter.
Yeah.
Which is just...
Yeah, setting records all over the place.
Yeah.
Steve Kerr. Another fact that three teams in history have won 83 or more games combined, regular season and playoffs, and Steve Kerr's been a member of all of them, either as a player twice for the Bulls and a coach this year for the Warriors. So, Kerr, you're the real MVP. you know... And looking at LeBron, I mean, that was still a great year for the Cavs. You can say, oh, the East was weak. It was, and all this stuff, and the Warriors weren't playing well in the first couple of games, and they weren't. And he is still a great player. You don't put up numbers like that without being a great player. But I'm going to respectfully disagree with the people who say that if Michael Jordan was in that situation or Kobe was in that situation, that they would have been swept. I think they are far better players than that, and that they're quite capable of leading a team through this weak Eastern Conference and at least holding their own in this series. You know, Jordan was pretty good, people. He was. I know there's a lot of hype, but you know, the same things that people say about LeBron right now, people were saying about Jordan. So if you want to talk about hype, and, you know, media hype, it's, you know, the narratives have existed for many years in every generation, and they only get bigger over the years. You know, pretty sure in another 10 years' time, they'll be talking about how the NBA changed the Earth's rotation to because Wilt used to jump from half court because he defied gravity, and so they changed the Earth's rotation to slow him down, you know, on top of all the other rules they changed, etc., blah, blah, blah. But, you know, these talking about all these great players. MJ is still my pick for that, and no, I don't think he would have been swept somehow. I think he could have put up numbers very similar to what LeBron did, because he put up very similar numbers against a superior team and won third straight championship. I'm just saying.
and not to mention he was, like, undefeated in every finals he went to.
Yeah, and but you know that is an arbitrarily important fact. I mean, but that's the thing. If you can say, again, I touched about it on last week, so I won't rant too much. But people pick out these arbitrary facts, like, oh, Kobe scored 81, Wilt scored 100, and LeBron did this, MJ did that. You know, you got to look at the whole body of work. And of course, the whole body of work for all of those guys is very impressive in basketball terms. But no, MJ is still my pick, but still a great season for the Cavs. You know, he returned home to Cleveland and he said, you know, I realize it might be a while before I bring a championship to Northeast Ohio, and came within two games of delivering in year one. So,
yeah, I mean,
you know, that still shows you what a great player LeBron is. Yeah. Don't get me wrong.
I mean, Miami didn't win it in their first year when they went to the finals, when they formed a super team and that. So,
and once again, you know, that was a better team. And that was the other thing I mentioned last week. If you're going to say he did this without superstars, he also lost twice with two superstars.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, arbitrary facts that we can put extra weight behind. But actually, that you mentioned that first year, same thing. They was up 2-1 in that series, and then lost the next three.
Yeah.
So, history repeats itself.
That's true. Well, it was better than the first, like LeBron's first ever against the Spurs in the finals.
Oh, the very first one in the Spurs. Yeah, that didn't end so well for the Cavs.
That was a sweep from memory.
That was a sweep, and not a very exciting finals either, because I think a lot of the scores were like in the high 70s, low 80s, which is never a great offensive performance.
Nope.
But you know, it was a great finals to watch, as we said, even with some of the lopsided end results, the final scores and some of the ugliness that went on. It was pretty exciting, pretty competitive, and just you'd see some of those shots at LeBron and Curry. Game 5, when LeBron scored the 40 points. First triple-double with 40 points since... who was it?
What's his name?
Was it Jerry West? I think it might have been Jerry West.
I think, yeah. Because Jerry West was getting a mention a bit, so... Yeah, I think that was or am I thinking in regards to...
First finals MVP,
on a losing, yeah.
Yeah, which was the very first finals MVP handed out, oddly enough, yep. To Jerry West. But, I mean, that was impressive. The shots he was hitting, and Curry had 37, he was hitting the amazing shots too, when it just turned into an all-out shootout there. Yeah, short of the Bulls winning the championship, which is obviously my first preference, that was a really good finals to take in.
Yep.
I can understand why people wanted it to go to 7. I wanted the Warriors to win because, you know, Bulls fan, so I kind of do cheer against LeBron, even though I certainly acknowledge his talent.
Yeah, me being a Heat fan and him kind of living
not enjoying the fact he's gone.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, I was going for the Warriors. I wanted to see the young guys get the championship. And again, yeah, you know, call me a hater if you will, but, you know, I do. I'm a Bulls fan, so I cheer against LeBron as much as I cheered for Patrick Ewing in the 90s. Come on. you know, acknowledge the talent, but you know, there's a limit to who you can cheer for. But I was happy to see the Warriors wrap it up, and impressive. And again, Iguodala get that, and hats off to the Warriors. And it got us some NBA Live 16 screenshots as well. So that was fun. That was cool to follow along with. And thank you to everyone who followed along with us on social media and in the forum. Hope you enjoyed the discussion, and yeah, keep the discussion going as the off season continues. Any other thoughts on the finals before we move on to some off-season stuff and our favorite topic, clothing?
it was definitely enjoyable to watch. It was a refreshing one in terms of there sort of being new teams in it. So, you know, teams that have had a long history of either not winning anything or being like 40-odd years since they last won something. So...
Indeed, the 40th anniversary of the last Warriors championship.
Yeah, so it was good, just not seeing the same teams in year out sort of thing. So yeah, it was a nice little refresh in that sense.
One final thing I want to mention about the finals: Festus Ezeli had a big putback dunk, which helped a run for the Warriors in the third quarter, towards the end of the third quarter, I believe. And Steve Noah of Operation Sports retweeted this, and I thank him very much for doing it, because this was perhaps one of my favorite basketball puns of all time by a Steve McPherson. Festus put that one in surprisingly easily. That's Festus Ezeli. Festus put that one in surprisingly easily.
Nice.
No, I'll definitely pay that one. That was a nice pun. We do want to talk clothes. We do want to talk fashion, but it's okay. It's NBA fashion, so you know, don't freak out and tune out. The Clippers have officially unveiled their new designs, both the logos and the uniforms. You know, what can you say? What can you say about them? I've seen some people like them. A lot of the people I tweeted out and posted on our Facebook, what do you think? Some people said they like them. Others, not so much. I'm kind of used to the logo, Ben, only because it's leaked. So I've kind of had time to get used to it. What is up with those jerseys?
They look like terrible, like, MS Paint jobs. Like, the...
Well,
I hate them. I hate them so much. They're just... That...
I don't mind the home jersey too much. It's definitely, at the very least, it's the better of the two, for whatever that's worth.
The red with this, the...
LA... The road jersey.
Oh, that's... Yeah. That's...
It looks like the... And this has been pointed out before in the forum, actually, as a forum user, a fat geezer, that's P-H-A-T, fat, commented that the Clippers road jersey is like the Christmas jerseys, you know, that they had
Yeah.
Was it last year? Also suggested that maybe Bomber based it on the Windows 8 startup screen. maybe they can release an 8.1 update for that. But...
Or just go straight to 10.
Straight to 10, yeah. I mentioned that, and he said, yeah, it needs to be a Vista to 7 kind of upgrade now. So, little computer geek humor for you there, folks. But it's an interesting design. Interesting in quotes, and that's a nice way of saying that, what the hell are you doing?
Yep.
the logo is okay. I will give it I think the logo is okay. Not the best in the league. Maybe I'm just used to it. I think the logo's okay. I can see where they're coming from. It does look like the NBA Live 06 logo.
Yes.
EA Sports tweeted that out, and I got a screenshot of their tweet and posted it on their Facebook, and a lot of people seem to be getting a kick out of that. it's the NBA Clippers 06 logo, if you will. And once you see it, you can't really unsee it either.
That's true. And also the Clip Arts logo that Conrad and myself sort of collaborated
on. Yes.
Which... brings back Clippy from the old Microsoft Word. He went into retirement a little while ago, and he's now...
We thought we were rid of him. We thought we were rid of him. We thought he was gone for the ribbon, but no, he's back for the Clippers, yeah.
He's been practicing his mascot routines the last couple of years.
The LA paper Clippers, but it's... well, they were a good team on paper. See, look, it's all coming together, these terrible times. It's all coming together. I mean, the big thing with the home jersey, it's the better of the two, as I said. But the underline under with the word mark looks odd on a jersey.
It really does.
It looks like a t-shirt. It would look fine on a t-shirt, that you'd wear in the stands as a fan or around, you know, just fan apparel. But as the actual on-court jersey, and then no word mark at all, just that logo and the number next to it. I mean, the Clippers have done so well to get out of the basement and not be a joke anymore, and you go ahead and do this, you know? Well, I mean, I suppose if you spend $2 billion, you're allowed to do whatever the hell you want, but...
Yeah.
But
there's that old joke, $2 billion on a team, $5 spent in MS Paint.
Yeah. Well, you know, like I say, how much money has he got left after that? So
yeah.
Lots. I know. It's a joke. It's a bad joke. But... I mean, the Clippers aren't our favorite team, so I guess our apologies to Pat, to P-Dub. Enjoy watching that on League Pass.
Especially if League Pass are doing the... if they're going to look at introducing,
the single team. Ones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, but
well, you know, I guess it's... glad it's not our team. But... How many Simpsons references can I cram into one episode of the NLSC podcast?
That was very nicely done. I appreciate that one.
Hey, speaking of people who will be wearing that wonderful jersey, Lance Stephenson is headed to the Clippers. They've completed the trade before the season's over. They're sending Matt Barnes and Spencer Hawes to the Charlotte Hornets. Almost said Bobcats, but they are the Hornets. They have a nice jersey, so... Yay for Matt Barnes and Spencer Hawes, I guess.
Yeah, well, they're definitely they're out before the before that crap. So yeah, it's like probably a huge sigh of relief that they don't have to wear that. But
as far as the trade itself, it's been referred to as high risk, high reward, and does seem that way. I mean, Hawes is pretty expendable. Barnes is has been the more valuable contributor for the Clippers in recent times. not a superstar, but certainly a defensive linchpin, and hard-nosed defensive player and everything. Stevenson's had his problems. Didn't really seem to fit in with the Hornets at all. Also an expiring contract, so that's the I mean, there's a bit of a risk there for the Hornets as well. With Stevenson, you know, apart from providing us with some fantastic memes, and of course he had the other one blowing the Larry O'Brien trophy out of LeBron's hands for this finals. I mean, he is a talented player, obviously. He's had his problems, but do you think this might be a situation where, like even a J.R. Smith, you know, as much as he struggled a bit in the finals, certainly became a valuable contributor in a situation where he had a superstar like LeBron to say, well, look, you know, you are here in the pecking order. I am the star. You know, you will feed off me and a coach who will be able to discipline him and rein him in a bit. You know, these players who have the reputation for being, you know, going off the rails a bit, sometimes, and Zach Randolph's another one I'll throw out there, once they get in the right situation and mature a bit and they get there with some players who can keep them in check and a coach who can utilize them and keep them in check, it all sort of comes together. Might this be the case for Stevenson? Because Doc Rivers obviously has coached a team to the championship and he's sort of a take-no-BS kind of guy.
Yeah, well, it'd be interesting to sort of see. That's a good question.
It seems a good situation for him to be in, you know.
Yeah.
If he can't make it here, then maybe he's just not going to be the guy who ever gets it as a player who can sort of get his head in the order to be the valuable contributor, valuable key player on a team, on a successful team. If he is just that guy who's good for memes and irritating LeBron.
I suppose it'd be good for him to grow up, mature, whatever you want to call it. Hopefully it pans out for him there and that. You know, he is an entertaining player.
Yes, very talented, yeah.
But yeah, he does have those risky moments in terms of, I don't want to say stability, but just consistency and things like that. So yeah, we'll see what happens. And whether it works out for the Clippers in terms of that trade and that. So, yeah.
And, of course, the NBA draft is next week. Might see if we can record before the draft so we can throw out a few predictions in time for that. Just in case we don't, or if we record late, I suppose we could throw out a couple of predictions. Who do you think is going to go first? Do you think it's going to be Karl Anthony Towns or Okafor, Jahlil Okafor, or somebody else entirely?
I haven't really paid too much attention, but I'll say Okafor for some reason.
Okafor, yep.
It's probably going to be the other guy, but...
Karl Anthony Towns.
Yeah.
Both Draft Express and NBA DraftNet have got Towns going to the Timberwolves at number one and Okafor to the Lakers at number two, which Lakers fans seem to be pretty happy about, so...
Yeah. Well, I probably want Okafor to go first just to piss off the Lakers.
Lakers faithful.
Yep.
Oh, you're a cruel man, Ben.
I know.
You know what? I'll pick Okafor to go first too. Let's, you know, we got the finals right. Let's go for broke and, you know, let's go one for two with our predictions.
Yeah.
Not counting all the other ones we got wrong. But we'll see that and we'll talk about that when the time comes. Yeah, we probably should have been paying a bit more attention to it, but I didn't have Foxtel this year, so I couldn't watch any college basketball. That's my excuse.
And I was a bit more anticipating the Ben Simmons year draft, so yeah, that's the one I've been waiting for. So hopefully next year.
but the NBA season's in the books. The draft is coming up. Of course, what remains to be seen whether NBA Live, NBA 2K news comes out during the draft. We'll, of course, cover it, talk about it in the podcast, talk about it in the forum, post it on the main page, keep you up to date with all the latest developments. But just before we wrap up, I wanted to talk a little bit about E3 because it was a really good showing, not just for NBA Live 16, but also a couple of other games that we're interested in. Could barely contain my excitement for Fallout 4, as you well know, to the point where I'm thinking of dropping the extra 60 or 70 bucks just to get the collector's edition that comes with a working Pip-Boy, which you can actually plug your smartphone into and use that, like the Pip-Boy interface. So that's pretty cool, to be honest. It's looking really good. They've added some cool stuff where you can build settlements and new dialogue interfaces and such, a bit more along the lines of, I think, Mass Effect. You can also break out of conversations at any point, shoot people in the face if you want, if you're feeling a bit antisocial. cool story and everything, and the graphics are looking pretty good as well. Some people mentioning that the walking animations look a bit odd, but it looks like it's going to be really fun, so I don't particularly care that it's not top of the line or some of the facial animations look a bit weird. It's all good to me. A voiced protagonist for the first time in the series. Yeah, it looks like the game that Fallout fans like myself, you know, I got into the series 7 years ago now with Fallout 3. So, man, time has really flown. But been waiting for this. New Vegas came out in 2010, of course. Been waiting at least 5 years now for the next one. Obsidian did that one based on the engine that Bethesda made. Bethesda's now announced Fallout 4. Bethesda had a really good showing with Fallout 4, and of course they announced Dishonored 2. I've played a bit of Dishonored. I got that in the Steam sale, and that's pretty good. I haven't played a whole as much of that as Fallout, but that and the new Doom.
Yeah, the new Doom looked really interesting.
Yeah, it's. I mean, they won day zero. Yeah.
They beat themselves there.
pretty much, but they had and that was their first time they'd done something like that. So that was cool. And actually, I've seen they've got a booth there, and they've got a working model of the one of the robots in the game.
Oh, nice.
That's telling bad jokes and making fun about all the Fallout 4 leaks and everything as people walk past. It talks to them and everything. So that's pretty cool. Yeah, obviously not going to go into a whole lot about it. This is a basketball gaming podcast, of course, but finally this, you know, and it's coming out November this year, so of course the basketball games in September. End of the year, my gaming schedule's full, basically.
Yep. You're set.
EA, 2K, and Bethesda own my soul. They own my time come September through November and beyond that. So that was really cool. Something I might check out because I've got a PlayStation again this generation is a game that you've talked about a lot, and you know, something I'll be keeping an eye on is Uncharted 4. That was looking, you know, like a lot of fun.
Yeah, well, the footage that they showed, they only showed half of it to the public in the second half, which apparently like is supposed to be so much better to this PlayStation experience. People who are in the cinemas and stuff like that in the US and Canada, so they got an extra 7.5 minutes of absolute craziness. And that and Jeff Keighley even tweeted out after he got to see it how intense it was and that. So, but yeah, with Uncharted 4, you actually get to really drive around in the cars. So Naughty Dog have a habit for their fourth game in the series to be a karting racing game in that sense. So it's almost Uncharted in that sense.
Uncharted.
So yeah, you get to drive around in it, which is cool. It's not something you get to do. It's more been in a scripted sort of car sequence and stuff like that. Although in the first one, you do get to ride jet skis and stuff like that. So, but yeah, there's some really cool chase scenes. But the sheer scale and size is one thing. Like, it looks far more open. It's definitely not. I mean, it's still going to have its linear elements, like all the paths, and that are going to lead to this one path in the end. So, because it's trying to tell a deliberate story and that, and not be the open world sort of sandbox type game. But it looks like you're going to have variations of how you're going to be able to get there. Like even when they did the reveal gameplay scene with the cliff parts and all that stuff back at PlayStation Experience, you had multiple ways to get to the one area. And then, yeah, this driving chase scene and that was just crazy as well. But also the amount of destruction and physics stuff that was happening and everything was just wow. And it was just fantastic. So I'm really excited for that. And that was a way to close out the show too.
Yeah, I mean, again, such a great E3 that, you know, was it last year or the year before where people were saying it's not a very good year for games?
It was kind of supposed to be this year that was supposed to be really good for games, but a lot of them got delayed and stuff like that because developers wanted to polish and stuff a bit more. So there was a few games that, yeah, got pushed back to next year. It was kind of more 2014, I think. So when the official consoles came out, it was kind of quiet in terms of the quality of games.
But yeah, and this year we've seen up some great ones. I mean, the ones that are of great interest to our community, Live 16 looking so great, 2K16 I'm sure will be great too. You know, they're still doing the WWE game. It remains to be seen what's I haven't been following it that closely, to be honest. was a bit just disappointed by last year's entry. Fallout 4, amazing. Uncharted, you know, seeing what's coming with that. And yeah, you know, it's a good time for gamers, I guess. Yep. And you know, a really, really successful show. I'm glad I tuned in this year and you know, got up at 6 o'clock in the morning because I was. And I know there's probably a lot of people get up that early every day to go to work, but I usually get up a bit later, tad later than that. As a self-employed freelancer, and certainly not at the 4 o'clock in the morning that I accidentally set my alarm for because I messed up on the time difference and work. I'm like, well, okay, is it ready to start? No, it's only 11 a.m. Pacific time, not 1 p.m.
I sent you that screenshot of the time zones and things for the conferences, though.
Oh, I already set the alarm.
Oh, okay.
I already set the alarm. I said, oh, yeah, I've got it all set up. But,
no worries.
Well, you know, I hit snooze and I managed to get there and get up in time. So it's all good. It's all good. But, no, I really enjoyed E3 this year. And the everything coming out of it just made me feel good about the time I'm going to, you know, quote unquote, waste on video games in the near future.
Yeah, there was just a lot to happen in E3. You know, things like The Last Guardian finally got announced again, and for PS4, you know, there's been a lot of rumors since about 2008 with that game.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah, that comes out next year, and
between that and Fallout 4, I think it's just now. Half-Life 3.
Yeah, and then
that's the only thing that needs to be left to be confirmed. Half-Life 3.
There was also Final Fantasy 7 and
the remake. Yep, yeah,
and Shinumi or whatever it's pronounced 3, and that which both got announced at PlayStation conference. Yep. So,
oh no, big announcements.
Yeah,
big things coming.
The Guerrilla Games, the guys that normally do Killzone, the Horizon Zero Dawn game.
Yep, I didn't really pay much attention to it myself, but I did hear people raving.
That looked fantastic. It was sort of Transformers. You're basically post-apocalyptic world where you sort of human races evolved back to like a sort of prehistoric state, so caveman era, and you're fighting and surviving and using the parts of like robotic dinosaurs that you hunt down and stuff like that. It's like a huge open sort of RPG type game or something like that.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. Some cool stuff coming. So I guess everyone needs to start saving their pennies.
Yeah.
or cents or dollars or bottle caps. It's a Fallout reference again. But no, very cool to see all that stuff coming out of E3. That's great to see it as a gamer and seeing so much positivity. I mean, we can be pretty negative.
Yeah.
Gaming communities, but for a lot of us saying, you know, this is we're hyped. We're looking forward to this stuff, and I guess hopefully it all delivers. And that's the other thing. The game comes out and it's still great, but nevertheless, we find a way to complain about it regardless. But you know, if we're not critics to a certain extent, you know, that doesn't benefit us as consumers. So yeah, you know, we'll have to wait and see. And of course, we'll keep covering the basketball stuff right here on the NLSC. But
just before we sort of get close to wrapping up,
sure.
I think Square Enix is going to have a big year this year with the games that they've announced, and you know that
they're going to be Xbox One exclusive, or
Tomb Raider, Tomb Raider, yeah, but Hitman.
Hitman. That's,
that looked quite impressive, and for what they're going to do with it, it's not going to be a disc based game. It's going to be a digital based one because they're going to be updating content throughout it. So think of it as a living game. But they've got Mad Max, they've got Just Cause 3, they obviously got the Final Fantasy games, like 7 and that sort of quirky little character one, then they got 15 and
yep.
Tomb Raider, as we mentioned. They're going to have a big year and a half. What else was there that was... the Media Molecule game looked really cool, like just really quirky in terms of creativity. Recall looked really nice. That's an Xbox exclusive one. That one had a really nice art style and cool possibilities with it. With the question I'm going to put to you, with and it's going to lead into something, with the Uncharted 4, if you buy that and you were impressed with it, will you get the Nathan Drake collection?
I'd definitely be tempted.
Okay.
See that's... I was... You know, once again, referring back to Fallout, when I got Fallout 3 and loved it so much, I did end up getting Fallout 1 and 2, which are very different games.
Yep.
You know, that's a point of contention within the long-time Fallout community, of course. Serious business. But certainly if you do come through a series part of the way through, You do, I think, or I certainly do, at least consider taking a look back at the earlier games and seeing what I think of them. So yeah, if I do, end up picking it up and do like it, it would be would have been my radar, yeah.
Nice. Well, because the reason why I asked that question is because it was going to lead into this. Article came out from Sony and on Game Informer. This is the title: Remasters serve the 40% of PS4 owners that didn't own a PS3. So, we've sort of mentioned in the past about in past podcasts with a lot of the big games that were on the previous console that have been remastered. And how a lot of people have switched over from one to another and all that stuff. So,
Yeah, although Xbox One is now going to have backwards compatibility, isn't it?
that was their big announcement, which
That's
was
their
really
big thing,
cool.
yep.
Yeah, that was a really good announcement. Oh, but I'll finish up on this point first because I just remembered something. So yeah, the remasters. A lot of people go, oh, what's the point of them? And who's going to buy them? Well, the fact that it is such a
We did
huge,
touch on this before, and yeah.
Such that it's 40% of the owners, and that it's already hit that kind of a large scale, and that so that's going to be that risk in redoing it and all that stuff seems to be paying off. The other game.
It's one of those things that, again, we do as gamers, not to throw gamers under the bus. My chair squeaking, I apologize. Need to get a new one. It's you look at the basketball games, for example, and a feature goes, and we say, oh, we want that feature back, and so they said, okay, here it is. We brought it back, and we say, oh, well, we should never have taken it out. I'm like, yeah, but they gave you what you wanted. So with these remake games, it's like, oh, it'd be great if we could play them on the new systems, and because I missed them on the last generation, if we could bring them forward as a collection or something, they're great. Here's the collection. Oh, lazy remastering, remaking games. It's like, it's funny. Whatever they do, we find a way to criticize it, which I find, I think sometimes we should just not just be happy with our given. That sounds like we should just take whatever we're given, but realize that there is a reason to do these remakes, as you said, giving people a chance to experience them. They did that with Tomb Raider and other games when PS4 X1 first came out.
And I've got both the PS3 and PS4 version of Tomb Raiders.
Yeah, some people will double dip, and people who don't, who like myself, might want to, like The Last of Us, for example, not having that on PS, not having a PS3. So there's a call for it. I think perhaps maybe things like people get too caught up on names like remastered and everything. They say, oh, well, it's only a small difference. Really, it's just being able to. It's a port. It's a port, basically. There's enhancements made to it because of the technology, but people want to play it on the new system, especially if they couldn't on the last one. So,
Yeah, well,
yeah.
there's a few of the remasters that are actually fixing up a lot of things. Like from what I understand with the Uncharted one, like some of the control mechanics, especially probably
Yeah,
from
and
one.
that's the other thing you can do with the remakes,
So
It doesn't have to be a George Lucas pan shot first debate.
And so yeah, they're really cool. The other game that looked really impressive was Battlefront. My God, that looked freaking awesome. Star Wars
Yeah.
Battlefront. I was like,
Yes,
wow.
that's getting a lot of Oh, nice segue. Nice segue. Yeah, I mean, we could go on for another hour, I guess, talking about it. But from the basketball games, or NBA Live 16 to Fallout to Uncharted to everything else that's come out, very exciting for our taste anyway. I guess can't please everyone, but yeah, definitely some good stuff on the horizon. And not some of it towards the end of this year, obviously, and we're already halfway through the year, so only a couple of months really for some of those games, which is scary, and other stuff next year. So. Yeah, no, I'm definitely looking forward to it. We've got a lot to be excited about, basically, and that's well, exciting. But it feels good to have optimism, because especially, as I said, we can get very cynical as gamers and overly critical to the point where we don't enjoy things where we really guess should enjoy them. And but yeah, and it's great to see other people, not just us, but other people also feeling so positive. But yes, we have been talking at you for about an hour and a half or so, or I'm not sure how it'll be after I truncate the silence in my wonderful post-production on this episode, but that we are have reached the end of another episode of the podcast. Have you enjoyed our opinions on NBA Live 16 and all our usual topics, as well as a few extra, because E3 was such a well, is such a big event for gamers, so we there's no way there was no way I wasn't going to talk about Fallout 4. Yeah. There will be more mentions of this in the future, sneaking it in along with the usual Simpsons references. You know, how can I not? But before we wrap up, you found the perfect tweet to end on. Well, first of all, we should also acknowledge I don't think we mentioned it during the NBA Finals discussion, but before the finals began, we noted that, well, we didn't come up with a fact, but we noted the fact that had been pointed out by quite a few people in the media that Stephen Curry became the first player to face every other member of the All-NBA first team in the single playoffs. And, of course, he has now become the first player to do that and win the championship. But he also, according to this tweet by Sneaky News, which is a little bit cruel, I guess, tweeted out, this is sneakynews.com, at Sneaky News on Twitter, tweeted out, fun fact, Steph Curry is the first Akron-born player to win a title in Cleveland, which is kind of cruel.
Yeah, that's adding insult to LeBron and his attempted legacy for the last, well, ever since he was drafted in 2003.
Well, player title came because one in Cleveland, so there you go. But they tweet that out. Of course, the memes are coming fast, hot, and strong. I'm sure that in another 12 hours or so, they will definitely be all running to the ground because that's what the internet does. But enjoy them in the meantime, I guess. But yes, that has brought us to the end of the episode. Thank you, as always, for listening. If you enjoyed the show, we invite you to subscribe on iTunes. You can click the link in the post, or you can keep streaming on the site, of course. As long as you're tuning in and enjoying what we're doing, that's the main thing. Please follow us on Twitter at the NLSC. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/the NLSC. Keep it locked to the NLSC, NBA-live.com. Going to be covering all the NBA Live 16 news and the NBA 2K16 news throughout the previous season. Going to be trying to bring you some really cool features as we did last year with our interviews and such. So stay tuned. You know, we're excited, as we've said so many times on the show, and we want to share that excitement with you and give you some really good coverage. So yeah, you know, it'll be fun to be a part of, Ben.
Oh yeah.
But yes, that will do it. Thank you so much as always for tuning in. I'm Andrew.
I'm Arcane.
And like the Cavs, we're out of here.
Or I was going to say like the NeoGAF servers during the and even Kickstarter during the Sony press conference. We're out.
Everything's out. See you next week.
See you next week, everyone.